Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you as we start hour number three here on the show. I want to dive right into a segment that we are going to do at least once a week. How often we do it, I'm not entirely sure yet, but it is something we're going to try now. It is a segment that I call the Audio Blitz. Long story short, Zoe and I are going to run through some of our favorite audio that we picked up off of social media. It's brand new. I didn't even tell Lonzo we're doing this today. That's how new it is. It's so new.
You included me as if I had some audio, and it's like, okay, I have flashbacks to somebody else.
No, I know.
Where's the audio, Lonzo?
As radio goes, nothing's original. Everything's a rip. All right? And this is mine.
No,
but
I just meant that I was supposed to have audio ready, supposedly.
Oh, no.
And didn't have. Yeah.
I got us plenty. Hey,
thank you for carrying us.
It's, it's what I do. Let's start with this. Penn State's got a new man at the OC. His name is Andy Kotelnicki. He's going to be calling the plays for Penn State. And I will say this, went pretty well in game one against West Virginia University. Penn State went into Morgantown, West Virginia, and took away a W and never really let West Virginia be all that much in the game. Every time West Virginia put a little something-something together, Penn State answered. And a lot of that had to do with that the fact that for the first time in a long time, Penn State kind of felt like they had a bit of explosion in the offense. Yeah, kind of felt like Drew Aller was allowed to be that guy instead of not that guy. Andy Kotelnicki was asked about his offensive philosophy after that game, and he gave one of my favorite answers, and you will hear why. Here's Andy. Oh, I'm here for it. I'm here for it, number one, because I love the philosophy. Simplicity equals complexity. That is why I'm a fan. And, you know, the only thing that I draw, there are three things that I draw from when we do sports analogies: food, relationships, and music. Those are the three things. I'm going to go with the music one here. My favorite band of all time, and you can blame my father for this, my favorite band of all time is the Eagles. Do you know why I love the Eagles? Because it is complexity through simplicity. The Eagles don't do anything fancy. Everything they play are GCD songs, but they do two things. They put them together in fun orders, and then they have a great guitar player. Joe Walsh goes out there and he just solos over the top of it, A. And B, they just harmonize. Everything is harmonized and everything is beautifully harmonized. Eagles music is not complex. In fact, it's so simple that I, a novice guitar player, can play most Eagles songs. All right? Simplicity. But number two, my man went straight for the food. But not just the food, but a great food. He went straight to the Blizzard. He said, look, at the end of the day, it's vanilla ice cream and your favorite candy. It's simple, but it's mixed up, and it's mixed up in a way that makes it delightful. I love this take from Andy Kotelnicki, offensive coordinator from Pennsylvania State University.
It's also a perfect description of this show. You're vanilla and I'm everyone's favorite candy.
That's it. That's it. Lonzo is just sugar sweet over there. Just sugar sweet. All right, let's get to another one. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody likes wrestling. Hey, wrestling's overrated. It's boring. Nobody likes it. Anyway, for no reason at all, in their game this weekend, the Arkansas Pine Bluff Band decided they were going to drop a little something on us. And yeah, I am going to play it because it's amazing. Are you going to do the thing? I'm going to do the thing.
Are you gonna do it? Okay. I thought we missed a window, but there is another window coming up. I mean, you know.
I see you, Arky Pine Bluff. Ready? Here goes. Wow!
It was still really loud. I still want you to know.
I backed way up.
You did.
I backed way up. Anyway, this is the Arkansas Pine Bluff Band playing as their hype song, Cody Rhodes' entrance music, a song called Kingdom.
You know what it is? They have adrenaline in their soul. The people who don't like wrestling, they don't.
They don't have adrenaline in their soul.
They don't have adrenaline in their soul.
Oh, and they killed the whole thing.
We're getting flagged for this, probably.
No, we're not. I don't think that's trademarked, so we're good. We're good. I'm rolling with it.
Oh, it's absolutely trademarked, but I don't understand. I don't know if a band playing another band, if orchestra would be flagged. We'll find out. I'm sure you're listening, Russia. You'll let us know.
Whoa! I love it. Well done, Arky Pine Bluff.
Belarus already had their finger on the button.
I love college football bands so much. Can we keep it about? You want to know what killed me? You want to kill me? Florida State, Boston College this weekend. Florida State made a decision this offseason I didn't know they made. I was very upset about it. Just on behalf of Florida State fans. They've decided then in the stadium, Lonzo, on third downs when the defense is out there on the field. On third down, they're not doing the tomahawk chop anymore. They have a live DJ mixing songs for third down hype. They got rid of the chop, which used to be a thing. That's a thing. If you want, ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of these people who's gotten real mad about traditions dying in college football, these are the things you get mad at. Not the portal, not NIL. Get mad at this. Get mad at the fact that on third downs in Tallahassee, they don't play the chop anymore. Now they have a DJ playing remixes. And by the way, half the songs they played were like terrible EDM remixes of 90s songs. What are we doing here, Florida State? What are we doing?
See, I'm not worried about that because, you know, I get to watch the band every Saturday.
Grambling?
The band.
Oh, Southern. Southern is the band. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take Grambling or Southern, and I'll put them up against any band you want to put from a Power Four conference. Southern Bayou Classic is a concert that has a football game wrapped around it.
By the way, they're really good bands. But they're not the band.
No, they are both the band. There are two the bands, and it's Grambling and Southern.
Combined, they're not the band.
Oh, they are it. They are it. All right, let's keep going. Brian Kelly after the loss to USC on Sunday night.
Good, because I still haven't heard this.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Well, you will now in the audio blitz. It's ridiculous.
You know, I prefer a coach to come out and say, hey, I coached them as best as anybody could. You know, sometimes you think someone has talent, and then they go out and prove you wrong. If anything, maybe I got to get my eyesight checked because these guys were ready. They went out there, and they're just not good enough.
I got to tell you, I really did think when that clip started, I thought that's what Brian Kelly was going to do. I really thought that's what BK was going to do. I thought he was going to go, and I don't know what the hell they were doing. I told him not to do that. I've told him. You know what it felt like to me? You ever been out in public and there's like a kid that misbehaves and the parent apologizes to everybody else, but they're like, I don't know why he's acting like this. I've taught him better than this. I'm like, no, you clearly didn't. Clearly you didn't, because if you taught him better than that, he wouldn't do that.
That's not true. That's not true.
I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
It's not true. You can have the most best, well-behaved kids. They're going to have that day. And that day is always going to happen in public where there's a lot of people. It's always going to happen.
I mean, in that case, then, I would say you coached your kid the right way, but they didn't listen to you. They didn't take it. And that, to me, that's on you as a dad / head coach.
What I should have done is go, okay, how would you handle this? Hey, mister, hey, miss, how would you handle this?
I don't know. That's why I don't have to handle it.
Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing, and you seem to know how to take care of it. Would you please come and help me? Tell me what to do.
No, I won't. It's your responsibility.
You're judging me. Help me fix it.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And see, that's the difference is I ain't got a kid or a football team, so I don't have to be responsible for it.
Is your dog always good? Or does your dog ever, you know, have a day where you're just like, what are you doing, dog?
My dog's great because I'm a great head coach.
Uh-huh.
I'm a great head coach. Hey, let's go to Scottie Scheffler won a lot of money this past weekend as he finished off his run to the FedEx Championship by playing very good golf. Well, on Sunday, Scotty had an opportunity coming out of a trap to make something happen. And he had one of his very few not good shots on the weekend. Late in the round, Scotty coming out of the bunker absolutely shanked the crap out of him. He Rob Browned out of the bunker. Wanted to go that way, went 45 degrees that way. It was real bad. Well, a reporter asked Scotty Scheffler after the round, what happened? And Scotty said this. I knew you were going to be here for smartass Scotty. I knew you were going to be here
especially
for sarcastic Scotty.
Since this is one of the things that I sent you that you ignored. But, you know.
I only have it because you sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
That's directly where I pulled it from.
Sure, you didn't make eye contact when you said that, but that's fine.
Because I was looking at the next clip. I got plenty more to get to.
Okay, all right.
Point here is, I like smart-ass Scotty. I like prison Scotty with jokes.
Why is it okay for him to be that way towards the media, but you get all upset when Prime does it?
There's a difference between being a smart-ass and being an ass. There's a gulf of difference. It is an art form.
Some would say I don't know the difference.
Oh, no. There are days when walking that razor thin line of stuff, there are days when you think you're being a smartass, but you're just being a regular one. And there's days when you're trying to be a sarcastic and you're nailing it. There's a big difference. All right. Walking that line is tough. That's why it's an art form to get away with it.
Jury's out on today. I'm not quite sure.
You're doing okay. You're doing okay today. You're more Scheffler than Dion today. You're more Scotty than Prime today is what I'll say. I love that. And I love it because, you know, sometimes the answer is, I screwed up. Do you think that I intended to go 45 degrees the wrong damn way? I screwed up. I hit the ball bad. What happened? I hit it bad.
I hope the boss is listening because sometimes there's no explanation other than, hey, I forgot or sorry, I messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I could sit here for like 35 minutes, but it's not going to change. I don't know why I did that. I just did it.
Now, I will say this. It becomes a problem if you make a lot of mistakes and you cover all of them up with, I screwed up. Right? It's another thing when you make, like Lonzo and I, very few mistakes. Like once a year do we make a mistake. But when you do and you go, I screwed up. I forgot. I got carried away. I was busy, whatever. That happens. And I think it's important that we recognize that. So I love that a golf dude, clearly not a PGA Tour player, asked the best player on planet Earth, hey, what happened when you hit it bad? And his answer was, I hit it bad. Yeah, that's phenomenal.
That was a great answer. And what was that word? Gozzle? What was it?
Hosel.
Hosel.
That is,
gozzle.
So where the...
I understood from his explanation.
Where the shaft of the club goes into the head of the club, in the transition, there's a little part where it stays round until you get to the bottom. And if you hit that, which happens to everybody, it's chaos. I love Scotty going, I don't know, man. I don't know. And then, ladies and gentlemen, as we got time for one or two more, let's go to a little Canadian football. I don't even need to set this one up. Punter hits board, referee goes funny. Here it is. Can we just make Canadians in charge of everything?
Well, first of all,
they're the best.
The announcer sounded really Canadian. They just got that little bit of, you know, eh? And so, like, the ball hit the board, eh? So, you know.
For the record, the dude who said the punter hit the board, and that's odd, that was the head referee making the call.
And very Canadian.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Can we just make Canadian, like, I just want Canadian guys forever. I just want Canadian guys calling every sport. I want hockey called by Canadians. I want NFL called by Canadians. Because Canadians, whenever something like that happens, they're just naturally hilarious in their reactions. Like, a Canadian ref went, that was old. I don't know what that's all about. That's just absolutely spectacular. Phenomenal. Xavier Legette was on the sidelines for the South Carolina game against Old Dominion. He did a quick interview. I don't have any thoughts. I just wanted to listen to him talk again. That was it. I've got nothing to add. I've got nothing to critique. I've got nothing to criticize. Here's what I want. I've just built it. Zach tipped me off. Here's what I want. I want every television sport, Lonzo. I want it called by Snoop Dogg, a Canadian guy, and Xavier Legette. That's what I want. I want a Canadian guy on play-by-play, Snoop on color, and Xavier as my field reporter. That would be the greatest television box of all time. I don't even need to say it. That's it. All right, there it is. The audio blitz, my favorite audio from social media over the past couple of days. Will we do it every day? Will we do it every other day? Will we do it on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays? Just on Wednesdays? I don't know. I just got to see how we felt about it. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Is it too much of a ripoff? I don't know. I don't care.
Of course I love it. How is it a ripoff to play audio?
Joey B said, you had two generational quarterbacks and two great quarterbacks. I will not take Kelly Bryant's slander. Dude took Clemson to the playoff, and if not for a bum ankle that Dabo had him play through, they'd have gone undefeated.
All I got to say is that, thanks, Dad. I'm glad you will not take it.
Texter said, my wife was watching the game with me when Xavier did that interview, and she looked at me and was like, is he dumb? And I'm like, no, he's awesome. I want his jersey. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never once in my life considered buying a Carolina Panther jersey, but if I'm ever obligated to, Xavier Leggett's the only one I want. And I love Luke Kuechly, but Xavier Leggett's my dog.
Yeah, I have a Luke Kuechly jersey at home.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but Xavier Leggett's my guy. All right, let's talk more football. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I'm going to keep it a buck with you guys. Last Tuesday, I hit my goal weight. Last Tuesday, I hit my goal weight that I had set. I set it initially at 215. I got past that. I reset it for 212. I got to that like a week and a half after I got to my goal weight, courtesy of my friends at New Life Weight Loss. And then this weekend, big weekend, fiance turned 40 years old. We're also now inside of 2 weeks into, sorry, 3 weeks until we get married. So this weekend, we did a lot. We had a surprise party for her on Friday night. She and I hit a winery on Sunday. We met some friends for dinner on Sunday night. We had a lot going on, and I took a little break, all right? Took a little break. I had some things I probably shouldn't have had, or at least had them in amount I shouldn't have had them in. And I woke up on Monday and I felt real guilty about it because I'd put like a pound back on over the weekend. And I'm like, no, this is unacceptable. And I was ready to beat myself up. And then I thought back to all the times that I had conversation with the folks at New Life, and they hammered into me, you are a human being. You are a person. You are going to have setbacks. You are going to make mistakes. The important thing is not to be perfect, but it is to recognize you and the things you want and the things you needed to make adjustments and give yourself grace. And I will tell you that since Sunday, it has been easy for me to jump right back on the horse. It has been easy for me to get right back into the groove because I want to now get to 210 before my wedding, which is 2 weeks from Saturday. I want to get down to 210. And even though I put one back on over the weekend, since Monday, getting back into the groove, getting back onto the plan, getting back into the healthy habits that I developed, dramatically easier than it's ever been for it. It used to be a fight for me, right? Because you'd break it and you'd have that weekend and then you go, okay, well, I'll start again next week or it's just one more pizza, right? Like, who cares? Y'all, to jump back into the plan that New Life put together that works for me and my life, to jump back into those habits that got me to where I want to be, it was nothing. It was like flipping a light switch. Just, I'm right back to it. And I have already taken that pound back off and am now back working towards my third goal weight, by the way, because I hit my first two. Now I'm on to my third. It has been phenomenal because New Life understands life's going to happen and they want to help you figure out how to adjust and adapt to your life, to get to your goal weight, get to where you want to be that healthy, confident version of yourself that you want to be. It has worked for me. And if I can do it, I promise that you can do it too. Your life's not crazier than mine, and you haven't had any different thoughts about food than I have, all right? If I can do it, you can do it. And here's my favorite part. New Life wants to make it easier for you to do it. 864-686-5820, 864-686-5820. If you call New Life before the end of this month, and if you tell New Life that you heard about them on The Rob Brown Show, they will give you $250 off the program. All you got to do is call New Life Weight Loss at 864-686-5820. Tell them you heard about them on The Rob Brown Show. Get $250 off the program. Become that healthier, more confident version of yourself that you want to be, just like I did with my friends at New Life Weight Loss.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in the next segment, Lonzo and I will take a look. Yesterday, we did the AFC and the NFC East. Today, we do the AFC and the NFC North. We will take a look at the teams that are in those two divisions and pick our champion, see if there's any surprises. Can I run one by you?
I just want to say this is going to be the hardest one, the AFC North.
The NFC North might not be easy. I mean, it might not be an easy one either. Detroit, NFC Championship game appearance. Chicago Bears, yeah, rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, but he looks spectacular in the regular season, and they've built an incredible core of skill position players, and a lot of folks think Chicago's defense is going to be one of the best in the league. And, of course, you got the Packers. Was Jordan Love for real last year? Will he be able to maintain that success for the Pack? The only team that's probably not in the mix, really, in these two divisions. Great, well, there's only one team that's not in contention for the title, and that's the Vikings because of the loss of J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if they would have been with J.J. McCarthy, but with the loss of J.J. McCarthy, now I definitely don't think they are. I think there's seven teams in these two divisions that could be divisional champs. We'll do that in the next segment, but before we get there, I wanted to run something by you real quick. I wanted to get your thoughts, and I want to get those of you out there in the Armada's thoughts. Text line open, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. I have a question about this Brazil game that is coming up on Friday. The Eagles and the Packers, which are notoriously, great one, two teams that wear green. They wear a lot of green. Why are you bringing up the colors in the uniform? Rob, is this going to be another one of those dumb segments where you talk about NFL fashion? Yes, but also no. This game is taking place in Rio de Janeiro down in Brazil. And it is taking place in a stadium called Maracanã Stadium. This stadium is used for big-time soccer matches, including one home club that has a rival that the hooliganism between these two teams is apparently world famous. And part of the reason it's world famous is because the fans of these two clubs will apparently, let's say occasionally and give them the benefit of the doubt, murder each other.
So when you're saying murder, you mean like take someone's life?
I mean murder. Like literally murder each other. To the point that apparently, around this stadium in Rio de Janeiro, Brasilia, you are encouraged, great one, not to wear the color green because that's the color of the rival that comes to play the home team in this stadium. And that we were told a number of months ago when they announced the Rio game that, oh, that's, you know, it's overblown. It's not that big a deal. It's really not going to happen that way, yada, 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 yada. Which may or may not be true. Except for two things have happened. Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles, famously, again, who wear green, they released their game day uniforms for Friday night, Lonzo. Guess what color they are?
I'm going to go with green.
No, they're not green at all. They're black and white.
Okay.
They have scrubbed all the green. Now, I don't know what the hell is going to happen on the other side of the football field. The Packers, notoriously from Green Bay, and granted, they don't really wear green.
Yeah, it's it's gold.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's yellow.
Yeah, but it's
gold. We need to stop calling yellow gold in the world of sports.
It's gold.
It's definitely yellow. Same with you, Steelers.
Let's call downstairs and see what some guy down there who's an authority could tell us what color it is.
I'm pretty sure, and there are a few things that I'm willing to take a stand on principle, even those even against those who have the ability to ruin my career. All right, very few places I'm like, I'm gonna take a stand, but this is one. That's yellow. I'm sorry, Steelers. There's one team in the NFL who wears gold, and that team's in New Orleans, Louisiana. And just so you don't think I'm being a hypocrite, LSU's colors are purple and yellow. All right? They break out a gold helmet every now and then, but they're purple and yellow. Put that to the side. They don't wear a lot of green, so whatever. They don't have to make big changes. But there's all a right, second right. part.
I just looked it up, and according to AI Overview, our you know, overseers, the Green Bay Packers colors are white, gold, and dark green.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Buy your wife a gold ring that color and let me know what she has to say about it. All right? Yours would be very gracious because Miss Lisa's the best, but that's not the point.
Can I borrow a little money for that? I mean, you know.
My car's fixed. You absolutely may not.
Gold is
expensive.
You
absolutely may not. Here's the other thing that happened. The NFL apparently sent a memo to players of the clubs that said that they can't do these things. And apparently it was like pages long. You can't go to these places. You can't do these things while you're down there. And a number of players have come out and said, we can't do anything. We're going down to Rio. We're going to stay in our hotel rooms because we can't go anywhere. We're going to play the game. We're going to go back to our hotel rooms, go to sleep, wake up the next day, and fly back to the United States. Here's my question mark. NFL, I know that you want to get the international audience interested. I haven't had a problem with you playing games in London. I haven't had a problem with you playing games in Germany. I don't have a problem with you playing a game in Paris that sends my Saints away. And I'm relatively sure that the Saints may accept a deal like the Jags have, where we're going to play one game a year in Paris. Because it's who else are you going to send to Paris but the team that has a fleur-de-lis on the helmet? Of course that's who you sent, right? I'm even okay with that, as much as I hate it that I'm going to lose a home game every other year. I'm good with it. Whatever. Here's my question. Roger, in what world, Roger, are you good sending your teams to a place where it is known that the soccer fans murder each other for wearing a particular color and then saying to them, your life is in danger if you go outside, so don't do these things, and then being like, but oh, the way, hey, Rio, we'd really like to give you more football. By the way, hey, Rio de Janeiro, we'd like to give you more. Why, Roger? Why would this be your particular audience? Why would you send them to a place that fans murder each other over a color and think that that's okay in return for money? This, my dear friends, is why I've said for a very long time, if Roger Goodell had wrestling walkout music, it would go, because he's a clown.
I'm very disappointed that you don't have the clown sound. I mean, because every time you say Roger, you could have...
Yeah, I'm fixing that after the show.
Yeah.
We're getting a clown nose squeaker sound after the show.
We do have colors here in America that you shouldn't wear. You know,
like what?
Crips and Bloods. You should
wear. Yeah, I gotta know. You know, you're wearing red right now, literally as we speak. And I'm relatively sure. I could be wrong. You're not gonna get murdered if you go down by any stadium in the area.
By the way, you don't know me.
That's fair. I don't know. Lonzo might be running with a gang in his spare time. You all know Lonzo. Lonzo, that total badass that he is, might be into some shady stuff on the streets. We preview the AFC and NFC North next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Oh, it's got to be the honka honka. It's got to be the double honka. Honka honka?
Yeah, apparently in my haste, I cut off the end.
That's all good. We'll get it figured out. Hey, let's talk about the NFC and AFC Norths here for just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and make our divisional predictions. Yesterday, we went through the AFC East. Lonzo selected the New York Jets as his winner. I picked the Miami Dolphins. We went through the NFC East as well. I went with a shocking long shot here with the Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bums. I really hope they drop the bum, 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 bums from their name this year. We'll find out. Lonzo went with the Dallas Cowboys as his winner of the NFC East. Let's move over to the NFC North. The Detroit Lions are your favorites in this division at plus 135. At just longer than 2-1, plus 230 of the Green Bay Packers. The Chicago Bears right there in the back pocket are plus 275. The long shots here, the Minnesota Vikings sans J.J. McCarthy, are plus 950. 9.5-1 in this one. I'm interested here because you got three teams in this division that can win it. You got the Lions, you got the Packers, you got the Bears, and they're all largely within striking distance of each other. You got Dan Campbell, who was 3-13-1 in his first season as the head coach, but we also know the Lions were a trash bag in that season. As a franchise, year number two, 9-8, missed the playoffs. Then last year, 12-5, lost to the 49ers in the conference championship game. Most people believe Detroit could be even better this year. You bring back Jahmyr Gibbs, who was a revelation. You bring back Amon Ross St. Brown, who was a stud last year. Jameson Williams getting better. And oh, by the way, you got some other players down there. You got a great tight end. You got a defensive end, and Aiden Hutchinson, that a lot of people think is a favorite to win defensive player of the year in the NFL this year, but he's not alone. You got the Green Bay Packers, 9-8 last year, but what set everybody off was just the walloping that they put on the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card round. They did lose to San Francisco in the divisional round, but the Packers, 6-8 heading into week 16, took advantage of a weak schedule that included the Panthers, Vikings, and Bears down the line, and Jordan Love looked a lot better. There is one question here. They lose Aaron Jones. They lose David Bakhtiari as their offensive tackle. So there's going to be a little bit of difference here. I'm going to tell you out of the gate before we make our predictions, I think the Green Bay Packers, sorry, big dog, aren't going to be as good as everybody thinks they are. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a wild card team. I think they're going to be right there in the mix. I don't like them to run at the division. I'll tell you who I do. I like the Bears to compete in the division. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to be that dog. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams is going to be the football messiah of the Windy City like everybody predicts that he's going to be. What I am going to say is he's already looked a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to. And as I have pointed out, they have surrounded this guy with phenomenal talent. They bring in Keenan Allen. I can do this. They've got DJ Moore. They just paid Rome Odunze, who I think was the best receiver in the draft, not named Malik Neighbors. Cole Kmet at the tight end. DeAndre Swift. They might have, and I'm including San Francisco in this, they might have the best skill position talent in the NFL. And oh, by the way, the Bears defense improved a lot this offseason. Predicted order of finish in the NFC North. Lonzo, I'll let you get a crack at it first.
All right. So Kyle on the stream has my order. That's the order I was going with, because for some reason, Rob's in love with a rookie quarterback who's done nothing. And the thing is,
I'm in love with two rookie quarterbacks who've done nothing.
So by saying Chicago is going to do that, what you're saying is they were a quarterback away last year.
Nope.
And it's not true. And they still have the same coach who's going to coach a good player if Caleb Williams is a good player, the same way he coached a good player last year. No. Detroit, far and away, the best in this division. They're going to run away with this. Green Bay, I think, is going to drop off, but as bad as Chicago and Minnesota is going to be, you're not going to notice. But still, Detroit wins this.
So, let me say two things.
He ain't played a down of meaningful football yet.
So, let's say a couple of things. Number one, a guy not having played it down doesn't mean that you can't project and predict what you think that guy is going to do. Number two, I am not saying the Bears were a quarterback away last year, but You also have to look at what the Bears added beside a quarterback. They added Keenan Allen, who takes pressure off of DJ Moore. DJ Moore, who was the best wide receiver last year the Bears have ever had in a single season, and now Keenan Allen's lined up. And oh, by the way, in case you wanted to make the slot receiver better, they bring in Rome Odunze, who proved to you at Washington he's a stud, he's a dude, was making circus catches in the preseason. Yes, it's the preseason, but still was doing that thing. I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be a guy or not. What I will tell you is this, and I mean this when I say it, I don't think a rookie quarterback has ever, in the history of rookie quarterbacks, ever had the skill position set up around him that Caleb Williams has. You added Keenan. You added Rome Odunze. You added DeAndre Swift. They added not one, not two, but three excellent pass catchers to that offense alongside DJ Moore, who was already there, and alongside Cole Kmet, who was already there. Cole Kmet is the best tight end you're not talking about, because we're all focused on, as we should be, Travis Kelce and George Kittle. I am telling you right now that by the end of this year, you're going to put Cole Kmet in that group. Watch, book it. You're going to put Cole Kmet in that group. He's a stud. He came down to New Orleans last year and put 96 touchdowns against the Saints in one game. That dude is a dude. Detroit wins this division. Chicago's in their back pocket till week 18. I do. Listen, I think this team has enough talent. They overcome Matt Eberflus. That's how much talent I think is there. I agree with you. Coaching sucks in Chicago.
I'm not quite sure that's possible. We'll see.
We will see. We know that having incredible generational talent can overcome coaching. It's a different level. Jimbo Fisher won a Florida State national championship. It wasn't because Jimbo Fisher's a good coach. Look at literally every other season he's ever had. They all stink. Every season that wasn't 2013, Jimbo Fisher's teams were overrated and ass. Except 2013, when he had a College Football Hall of Fame caliber quarterback in Jameis Winston and Kelvin Benjamin at wide receiver, and they won the Natty that year. That's what can be done, all right? It can be done in the NFL as well. Chicago has more skill position talent, I believe, than any other team in the NFL, and I am including the 49ers in that group. So if there's ever been a rookie quarterback who has been set up to succeed, it's Caleb Williams. If Caleb Williams doesn't succeed in year one, he will be closer to bust than Jaden Daniels if he doesn't. Than Bo Nix if he doesn't.
This is so funny because suddenly I've got Caleb Williams stuff on my feed. And the first thing that comes up, will Caleb Williams snap a 22-year winless streak? Quarterbacks drafted number one overall are 0-14-1 in their first start since 2002. According to ESPN Bet, which obviously is listening to us because popped
well,
up.
Well, as I told you, Lonzo, I'm an influencer. All right, I don't know why people don't believe this.
It's the hat.
I'm an influencer. And the answer to that question is yes. Tennessee's at Chicago. Listen, I like Tennessee a lot this year compared to what most, but relatively speaking, I like Tennessee. I like Will Levis a lot. Captain Mayo reporting for duty.
Number eight.
Smell greatness. I'm a big Will Levis guy. All right. He is the face of my second favorite mayo. I respect Will Levis for that. And I like this Tennessee team with their new coaching staff quite a bit. But Chicago's better than Tennessee out of the gate. The answer is yes. Caleb Williams will be win number two for number one overall quarterbacks in their opener. Yes, he absolutely will. This team is going to succeed. Texter said the Bears may come in third in that division or worse. Stop sleeping on Green Bay. They got all the weapons. You're right. Green Bay's got great weapons. You know who's got better weapons? The Chicago Bears do. They just do. That's objectively true.
It's still yet. We both said Detroit's winning that division.
I agree, because I'll tell you what Detroit has that Chicago doesn't. It's the one reason that I'm taking Detroit over.
Dan Campbell.
I think they've got the weaponry that is not as good as Chicago's, but they got two other things. Number one, they got a very experienced quarterback who knows that he is towards the end, and it's got to be now or never. And number two, yes, not sarcastically, Dan, we're going to bite their kneecaps, Campbell. That's my freaking guy.
You got to watch his new commercial, by the way.
He's got a new commercial?
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, I got to go to break now.
Yeah.
That's all I want to go find. They have got in Detroit a culture that is already instilled, already built, and believes. The Lions sold out their preseason games. The Chiefs didn't do that. The Niners didn't do that. Nobody did that except the Lions. They sold out preseason games. Ford Field, I'm saying this now, put it on the record. Ford Field will be the best home field advantage in the NFL this year. It'll be better than Arrowhead. It'll be better than Levi. It'll be better than Superdome. I'm including my own team. It'll be better than come every on. Home field advantage come in the NFL on. Because yeah. the Detroit fans are stupid right now. And I'm all in for it.
I love all we got to do is say NFL and all this stuff just pops up. It's
influencers, baby.
Including the NFC championship odds. 12,000 to one are the Panthers.
I like football too. Like a lot, DJ. Thank you very much. Hey, let's run to a break. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go into the other room and I'm going to go find Dan Campbell's new commercial. You are all going to sit here and you are going to be seduced by Lonzo reading this Sports Flash.
I don't know why that makes me uncomfortable, but it makes me it's weird. Yesterday, the Atlanta Braves started a three-game set against the Rockies with a 3-0 win at home. Chris Sale surpassed his 200th strikeout on the season in a 9K, 7-inning shutout performance, earning his 16th win of the year. Game 2 is tonight at 7:20 with Charlie Morton on the mound. In college football, the new AP poll has dropped. Georgia remains at number 1, followed by Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Ole Miss is at 6, followed by Oregon, Penn State, Missouri, and Michigan. Clemson falls to 25 after their big loss to Georgia. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but they lost to Georgia by quite a bit. 9 of the top 10 teams are in the Big Ten or the SEC. Clemson is not. So the other is independent Notre Dame. Hey, make sure to tune in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on Charleston Southern right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan, Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.